rescued my, he's calling you home to your place. So you need to get excited about that. You need to release what's been holding you down, the bondages, the chains that have locked you up, and says, I am free to do what God's called me to do and called me to be, because there is an eternity waiting for me. We have to get a hold of that, or else we get discouraged. Even believers will get discouraged thinking this is all there is. But there is no discouragement in Jesus Christ, because he is everything. He has given us everything. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. He has set us free for a purpose. We just need to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. I believe God wants to set some people free. Hallelujah. He wants to set some people free. Come on. We're just going to take a minute. What's binding you up? Is Tanya here? Tanya, come on up. Tanya doesn't know I'm doing this. This is what I feel. There's people. There's people bound. There's bondages. There's chains. There's only one person that can release that, and that's Jesus Christ. So I just want Tanya, whatever is going on in your life, if you want to put your hand where you have a sickness or you need a healing, if you got emotional problems, you got physical problems, hey, if you just, whatever you have, I really feel God is asking you to trust him. And I'm going to have Tanya pray a simple prayer. Just release the bondages that are holding people back this morning. And I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you to look around. And I just want, she is going to pray, and I want you to receive it in Jesus' name.
I just want to see hands who wants to be free. Who wants to be free? If there is something bothering you, you want to be free. Okay, that's what I'm going to pray for. In Jesus' name, I bind every bondage, every sickness, and I command you to leave that body in Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name. You start, thank God that you are free, you are healthy, and whatever you had, you don't have anymore because he took it. That's simple. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Receive your freedom. Receive your freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You make all things possible in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, people. Just receive it. Receive it. Start thanking God for your freedom, your healing, the release of chains. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Doesn't come from God. Sickness does not come from God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice right now. Come on. Let's just rejoice, church. Let's rejoice in him. However, if you have a song in your heart, sing it out. Come on. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You have rescued our soul. Hallelujah. You have made us whole. Hallelujah. You have healed our bodies by your stripes in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the release this morning in people's lives. Hallelujah, Lord. My Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord. There is no one like you, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, to be in your house, to be in your house, to worship you, God. What a privilege and an honor it is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. I don't want you to leave the attitude of worship, though, because God is so good. He is so, so good. He's so good. Children may be dismissed for children's church. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We have, we're going to have our ushers come forward for our morning offering. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, that you have rescued our soul. God, we just thank you for this time that we are able to give back to you, Lord, everything that you have given us, Lord. Lord, you ask us to be good stewards, Lord. You ask us to steward the finances that you have given us, Lord. Everything we have comes from you. And so we're just giving you back a portion, Lord, as we cry out to you and seek you and say, Lord, what do you have for us to give? What do you have for me to give? Lord, we know that you're not looking just for a percentage, Lord. You're looking for our heart. And so whenever we take our offering, Lord, you're looking for our heart, Lord. And God, I ask that you would challenge us all the time because everything we have is yours and you've given it to us. So we ask a blessing upon this offering at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, we just got one announcement this morning, and that's our missions conference, which is going to be coming up. And that is starts next Friday night. It's going to be the youth. Have a youth conference on Friday night here. And then at 7 o'clock, and Alex Seidler is going to be speaking. Him and his wife will be here for the whole weekend. And on Saturday, we're going to have workshops from 9 to 12. We're going to have like a coffee hour from up here at 9 o'clock. We're going to start our workshop at 9:30. To 10:30, going to take a break, and then we're going to have another workshop at 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And even downstairs, we're going to have, yeah, Tanya, don't leave me. You can come up. And then we're going to have a workshop from 11 to 12, which Jody and Alex will be speaking. And it's going to be awesome. We have our kids will be downstairs doing their program, and then upstairs here for the youth and adults, whoever wants to come, but try to come out. Alex is our global ministry director at Elam Fellowship. He's been traveling all over the world, just came back from Israel, him and his wife. I know his wife was in India. He's just been all over. So it's going to be an awesome weekend. And so Tanya's going to just talk a little bit about the food. We ask you to bring a dish to pass and a dessert, and then Tanya's going to, let me just push that on for you.
Yes, it's going to be very simple, but very good.
Always good.
We're going to cook potato. We're going to cook some meat. I asked a few ladies to make meatballs. So if you have desire to help in the kitchen, you're welcome. If you bring some kind of dish and you want to make it some kind of dish, I have plates for you. So anyone who likes to cook or want to... Nadia, thank you. Nadia is going to make a very nice dessert. So let me know. And if bake some kind of cakes or anything you would like to, anything, bring this delicious food and we're going to have a very good time.
Tanya, our mission conference. Speaking also Saturday night. So Friday night, youth night. Saturday, youth and adults. If you want to come, we encourage you to come on Saturday. Alex and his wife will be doing practical. We're going to be talking about evangelism and discipleship, and it's for the whole church. And then Saturday night, our regular service with our missionaries. And then Sunday, Alex will be speaking, and it's just, he's a ball of fire, and he's been all over the world, he's young, and just excited to spread the gospel. So just get ready for the conference. Pray during this week for our missions conference also. And our young people, we have 14 young people that are in the city of New York City this weekend. They left Friday. They're out there ministering in the city, passing out food, ministering, evangelizing, witnessing. I got a report that a couple gentlemen received Christ on the street. Our youth were there and just talking to them about the Lord. And I won't mention the name because no one wants their names mentioned. But these young kids, you'll know 14 of them are down there just hungry for God. And so I'm getting pictures sent back from Peter DiArudo from NYSEM. He said, "Oh man," he goes, "your youth are awesome. Your church is awesome." He goes, "I can't wait to come back to Utica and just bring this to the city of Utica." And he's all excited. So continue to pray for our youth. They're down there. They've been going out like 11, 12 o'clock midnight on the city streets with the homeless, the addicted, rough areas, but your kids are safe. They passed out, I think yesterday alone, 2,200 turkey dinners, 2,200. They were looking to pass out like 5,000 when it gets all done with. It's just amazing what's going on, and our church is involved with that. And so I know our youth are going to come back so excited to share what God's doing, and I'm just excited. I'm so proud of our church. Where can you go and just, you know, hey, Calvary's it. I'm a little biased. Calvary's it. There's a lot of great churches out there, so don't get me wrong. There are a lot of great churches. I'm just so thankful God has sent my wife and I here to be with you in this church. And it is awesome what God is doing. It's just amazing. So, hey, this morning we've been talking about, last week we talked about, you know, the heart of God, the heart of the Father, and how much He loves us and how He responds. How He, His compassion, and how He never leaves us. He just continues to come after us, and how everything that He's done is just the heart of God. And as I was studying this, I started studying it, and my title this morning is Responding to the Father. How do we respond to this God that is just God? You know, we really don't understand who God is, really, because He's supernatural. He's God. And so, you know, and in my study here, it's again, I haven't exhausted this study of who God is. This is very just scratching the surface, but it's just amazing. See, we look at Jesus, and we talk about Jesus a lot because Jesus is the answer. Jesus, in John 14:6, it says, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. So Jesus, He came to earth, but when we see Jesus coming to earth, you know, we say, okay, Jesus came to earth, and what did He come for? Well, He came to die. He came to take our sins, and He came to show us the kingdom of God. He set the captives free. He exposes the works of the devil. We know Jesus came to do all these things. But when you really study the scripture, his primary purpose, that why Jesus came, was to reveal who God is to reveal the Father. And when you start reading the Bible according to that, it's like Jesus came not just to heal my body, not just to save my soul, not just to be my provider, my good shepherd, my protector, but he actually came to reveal this supernatural God that we just don't understand. So when you start reading the Bible now, I want you to read it with the understanding that he came to reveal who God was. See, God wanted us to know so clearly what he was like that he sent his son in the flesh. Can you imagine that? God says, I really want people to know who I am, so I'm going to send my son, my only begotten son. See, when you read the Bible now, when I start reading the Bible now, I see that when he healed blind Bartimaeus, he was showing us what the Father would do for his son. Heal him. When you start realizing that Jesus came to reveal the Father, when he multiplied the food for the crowd of 5,000, he was revealing, that miracle was revealing God's compassion. When the woman was caught in adultery, and he was showing us a father-daughter relationship, restoring his daughter. See, we just look at all of Jesus' miracles and say, oh, he just turned water into wine. He just, you know, healed the sick, raised the dead. Oh, that's cool. Those are miracles. But when you understand that he's revealing who his Father is, that his Father wants to have a relationship with you and I. When the prostitute came and washed Jesus' feet with her tears, where sin abounds, God was showing us grace abounds more. Hallelujah. You start reading this. Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. We say, okay, man, we preach on that. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. You know, Jesus is serving them, and, you know, he's just humbly, you know, washing their feet. He's doing this act of servanthood. But Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. He's showing us how God serves us. Did you ever think about that? How God serves us. He's not a hard taskmaster. Master, he is the first to serve. God is the first to serve. And so, man, when you start reading the Bible now, you start realizing, hey, there's more to this than what I just read. It's not just a miracle. Jesus is revealing who the Father is and who he is to you and I. You remember in Luke chapter 2, Ben, if you can bring this, it's not on the sheet, but if you can bring Luke chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. You know, every year, this is in Luke chapter 2, it's the parents went down to the festival of the Passover, and you remember the story, it's in Luke chapter 2, and the parents, they go through the festival, and they leave, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a couple days have passed, and Jesus has been left behind. You know the story. If you don't know it, you can read it in Luke chapter 2. So Jesus is left behind. He's 12 years old, and as I was studying this, I'm looking at this going, how do you leave your son behind? You know, he's 12 years old. But when you read it, and you read that chapter, it's really cool. It's like Jesus Christ, he's going into the temple. And if you read it, he's having a conversation with all the religious leaders, all the teachers. And he was 12 years old. Read the story. But this is how I'd like to look at this story. And one of the teachers says, this is probably what he said. Hey, son, how old are you? How old are you? Well, he says, this is Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. On my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. But on my father's side, I'm older than my mother and as old as my father. He's talking about God. You see, he was God, both God and man. both God and man. Can you imagine, like, Jesus is 12 years old, and he's doing this with the teachers. And if you read the chapter, it's, oh yeah, after 3 days, I found him in the temple sitting around. The teacher's listening to them and asking them questions. The next one, verse 47. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. 12 years old. And these teachers are probably looking at him going, where did you get this from? I like that. On my mother's side, I'm 12. But on my father's side, I'm from the very beginning of time. That's how old I am. So now, on his mother's side, he got thirsty. On his father's side, he said, I'm the water of life. On his mother's side, he got hungry. On his father's side, he took a little lad's lunch and fed 5,000. On his mother's side, the human side, he was homeless and didn't have a place to lay his head. On his father's side, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. On his mother's side, he wept at the grave of Lazarus. On his father's side, he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he raised him from the dead. He was God in human flesh. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. That gets me excited. I could read that all day. On my mother's side, I was thirsty. But on my father's side, I'm the living water. Come on, church. That's what Jesus is revealing to you and I. That's the Father. We may have a mother and a father naturally, but on my spiritual side, we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. On my spiritual side, I have a Father who is my good shepherd. On my spiritual side, he's my shield and my buckler and my refuge and my hiding place. Hallelujah. Jesus is revealing to us who God is. I can't be the only one getting excited here. Come on. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Excuse me. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hey, Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is it, Jesus. Jesus, we talk about him a lot, and you know, even since I've been here, it's all about Jesus. We're going to preach Jesus, we're going to teach Jesus, we're going to talk about Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's the only way we can come to God. But on the big picture, Jesus reveals who the supernatural God is. Hallelujah. And he gives us the opportunity to have a relationship with this supernatural God. Christ is the likeness of his Father, the true form, true figure, character, and representation of God. He has manifested God unto us, the image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. Man, everybody says, man, I wish I could get to know this God, you know? And everyone in the world, they all have gods, you know? It could be the wind, it could be the tree, it could be... Everyone's got a God for something, but there's only one true God, and Jesus has revealed that one true God. All through the Gospels, isn't this amazing? I was researching this. In the Old Testament, and I don't have it here with me, in the Old Testament, God the Father is used, I think, 15 times in that phrase. In the New Testament, God the Father is used over 200 times. And in the Gospel of John, it's used over 100 times. He wants to let us know who the Father is. Hallelujah. And so, when you go to the Gospel of John, we're going to read some verses here because I want you to catch this. Hang in there with me. John 1:18 says, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus has made him known. Jesus didn't come just to save us from our sins. He entered earth to reveal God. Thank you, Jesus. He came to earth to reveal God. In John 10:24-25, it says, so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are Christ, tell us plainly. And really, that word suspense is, how long are you going to keep us going crazy? Are you Jesus or not? And the reason they wanted to know, because all they want to do is they're going to kill him, they're going to crucify him and charge him with a crime. And Jesus answered, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my, verse 25, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. See, Jesus defines who he is and what he does on the basis with his relationship with the Father. I want you to catch that. Everything Jesus does is connected to the Father. If you want to understand the effectiveness of Jesus, his ministry, it's all summed up in his connectedness to the Father. So here's my question to all of us. The effectiveness of your ministry, your walk, your relationship to God will be determined by how connected you are to God. If Jesus' ministry was only moving forward and everything he did, because we ask, man, how did you do all this, Jesus? You were God, you were human, you were man. And he tells us all through the Gospels, all through the Bible, I was connected to my Father. And so I question that, I give you that question, where are you in your ministry, your walk, and your relationship, in your connection to God? See, Jesus set aside his deity. Yes, he was God, but living among all the people, empowered by the Holy Spirit, everything he does is in relationship to the Father. So is everything you're doing, is that in relationship to the Father? See, a lot of Christians, a lot of believers, we live a life beneath a level of what God has for us. We all do. We don't function with the power and the supernatural dimension what God desires for us. And the reason is because we come to salvation as we have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, but then we have not followed that up with an understanding of who God is and all that he is as our Father and the role of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. See, you know, we receive Christ, and if you're not taught anything after Christ, it's like we don't totally engulf in who God is and understand who the Father is to us. And so we have this diminished effect of our lives. We're saying, how come I don't feel like I'm moving in the supernatural? How come I don't feel like, you know, God is doing this or that? And why has it happened with other people? Why, when I hear other people, they speak the word and they pray and people are healed and, you know, they can recite this verse and that verse and have enough because of their relationship with the Father. See, you receive Christ, you're going to heaven. We all know that through the Scripture. But when you get to know who the Father is, that's where Jesus' ministry took off because he was connected to God. We have to stay connected to God. Jesus is teaching us who the Father is. We need to process that correctly so we can live a life with power and effectiveness. Because if you don't believe, yes, Jesus, I don't want to get ahead of myself, when they ask Jesus who he was, he directs everything to the Father. I can only do what I see the Father do. I can only say what I see the Father say. I follow what the Father does. I do the works of my Father. So I ask you, I just ask you, like, are you following the Father? Because Jesus was. And so the first thing, God shows us is that he wants a personal relationship with us. John 10:15 says, just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. Just as we know Jesus, the Father knows us. Do we know the Father in that way? Do we have a personal relationship with God? You can. Not only on earth, but before time began, the Father and the Holy Spirit knew one another. They had a relationship. And what God is saying to us, hey, I can have that same relationship with you. I'm a relational God. I am into relationships. Just like I was into relationship with my son, I'm into relationship with you. But we need to know that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And so the second thing that you see in the Scripture, there's so much in this. This is just scratching the surface of who God is. But he's a personal relationship. He's personal. He wants to have a relationship. He created us to have a relationship. He had a relationship with his son. He loved his son. And the second thing, he loves his children. John 10:17 says, For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. So for this reason, the Father loves me. He loves you and I. He loves his Son. He's showing us, Jesus is revealing to us, hey, he's a personal God. He wants relationship with you. He's a loving God. He loves you. He's given his Son for you. I came for this purpose to reveal who God is. He loves his children. He loves you. But if you don't understand he loves you, that it diminishes your ministry. Because if you feel God is always out to get you, then you're always, stepping away and not getting too close. And God's saying, hey, Jesus has revealed to you who I am. I'm a relational God. I'm a God that loves you. In the heart of God, there is this incredible desire to love his children. His children are the ones who come to faith in Christ. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you are a child of God. He loves you. How did Jesus live this powerful life and do all that he did? Well, one of the things, as you read the scriptures, he imitated everything the Father did. He imitated everything the Father did. He had such a relationship with the Father. It says that they loved each other. The Father loved the Son loved the Father. And the third thing is that he imitated what the Father did. John 5:17. But Jesus answered and said, that's 5:17. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. And so, go to 19. Skip 18, go to 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Go to verse 20. For the Father loves the Son, and he shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. So Jesus imitates. He says Jesus is doing what his Father is doing. He's always doing what his Father is doing. So, sometimes we ask these questions, why do I see so-and-so, they seem to be so strong in the Lord, and they seem to have no problems. Hey, we all have problems. There's not anybody here on earth that doesn't have a problem. We all know that. But sometimes when we have a problem, we go to Jesus, we go to the Father, and so it looks like, because I've been around people, men of God, women of God, and say, man, they must never have a problem. They're always happy. They're always joyful. Everything always goes right for them. No, it doesn't. Is that they have a relationship with God. They have a relationship with the Father. Jesus has shown them what you need to do when the waves come, when the storm comes, when sickness comes, when the loss of a job comes and the health of a child comes and the struggling of a marriage comes. Do you have a relationship with the Father? Jesus is revealing that to us. Jesus is doing what the Father is doing. See, some believers, and I know this for a fact. Okay, let's say one believer, me, I'll use me as an example. I would, when I was younger in my walk with God, I would want to do things. Then I would say, hey, God, Jesus, why don't you show up where I am? Come over here. This is what I'm doing. And I could never figure out why things didn't work out for me. Because I was doing my own thing, and then I wanted God to come and bless it. Hey, God, I'm over here. And God says, yeah, I'm up here. And so I would say, hey, God, I'm over here. He says, hey, I'm still up here. And finally, it took me a while to figure that out over the years, that God was not going to just bless something just because I was doing it. And really, it took me a lot of time to figure, why can't I have what so-and-so has? And then I realized when I actually knew that person, I would not want to go through what they went through to have what they have. And it wasn't that they had something that I didn't have, is that they had a relationship with God that I didn't have, even though I was a believer. This is so important. This is so important. And so we are, as believers, just saying, hey, some believers say, Jesus, I'm working over here. Why don't you come over here and be with me? the kind of relationship that Jesus and God had, the time he spent with his Father, Jesus knew what he was doing with his day. Think about this. They had such a relationship that Jesus never woke up confused about what he was going to do today. I never read that in the Bible. Jesus, well, there's my Bible over there. Jesus wakes up, this is John 13, 36. Hey, Jesus woke up and he was confused today. Did you ever read that? Hey, Jesus woke up and he said, I got nothing to do today. Jesus woke up and says, man, where do I go today? Who do I heal today? What village do I walk through? He was never confused, never anxiety-ridden, never in a state of depression, because all he did was he had a relationship with his Father. He says, what are you doing today? That's what I'm going to do today. And can you imagine a church waking up every morning and saying, Jesus, what are you doing today? That's what I'm going to do today. Father, show me where you are today, and that's where I'm going to be today. And it took me a while to learn that, because I was the one that wanted to wake up and say, God, I'm over here. And Jesus would say, that's cool, but I'm over here. And it took me a while to understand that. And I want to help you understand that so that you don't run someplace and say, God, you needed to be there before I got there. God didn't have to be there, even though he is there before you got there. We all know that. But God wants us to say, hey, Tom, this is what I'm doing. Do you want to come and join me? And that's the key to that relationship with the Father. So are we confused about what we are doing? Maybe because we don't know what the Father is doing. So when you're in confusion, and you say, man, I'm just confused today, I'm not sure what to do today, go ask the Father what he is doing today in your life. Because that's the most important thing. What is the Father doing? Jesus is here to model for us, explain to us how to walk with God, live with God, and seek God, so we can show others how to do the same. That's so important. See, we get so narrow-minded because it's all about us and what we think we should be doing and having and going, instead of saying, God, what do you want to do today? My prayers have changed, and you've heard me say that in the last couple months. I'll ask Jesus, hey, what would a day look like with you and I today? What do you want to do? Jesus, what do you want to do today? Father God, hey, where are you today? Maybe I should be there. Why don't you let me know? Because that's where I want to be, where you are. John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. Oh, that explains it right there. I and the Father are one. One in purpose, one in essence. They are one, even though we still don't totally understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I liken it to the three-ring pretzel. They're all there in the ring. It's all God. It's all Jesus. It's all the Holy Spirit. Can't figure it out. But he says, we are one. We're one in purpose. We're one in essence. We're one together. But we do different things, but we're one. So I say, what is our relationship to the Father? What is your relationship to the Father today? Hopefully you've seen something different to say, man, I got to look at God. I can look at God differently. We are all looking for that Father that will protect us and love us. You know, God's created family. God's created fathers and mothers. And we have a relationship with the Son, and we may even have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. But God as our Father gets a little confusing. God. See, Jesus is okay. And we can have that relation. We can have a little bit of understanding who Jesus is. But really, we're not clear on who God is. But today, hopefully, you will understand and you'll read the Bible differently and say, wait a minute, Jesus was revealing who God is, who the Father is to us. See, we're all in on this one. Jesus died for us. Right? We're all in for that. I mean, if I ask everyone, hey, do you believe Jesus died for you? Yeah, I believe Jesus died for us, for our sins. But when it comes to the Father, we get a little indifferent about that. See, I know he's good, but wasn't he the one that was trying to get me? And that's why he sent Jesus? Wasn't God the one that said, I got to send the Son because this isn't working? So if we actually look at God as, oh, thank God Jesus came because I don't know what God would have done with me. That's a wrong impression of who the Father is. And a lot of times we get this. I'm going to get a little personal, off the path a little bit. But see, God created man and woman. God created children. God created the family. He created a father. And sometimes we could either have good relationships with our father or bad relationships with our father. And a lot of people I talk with, what will happen is they'll view God, their father, as they viewed their earthly father. Well, this father didn't protect me. This father didn't care for me. This father wasn't there for me. This father didn't encourage me. This father was not safe with me. And sometimes people, they've told me this, and it took a while for them to understand who God is. And that's why I want to teach us who God is, because God isn't that. God loves us. God is our protector. God is our provider. He loves us unconditionally. Everything that Jesus, you see Jesus do, he's really revealing who God is. But we live in a world of sin. We live in a fallen world. And many people have told me, I have a hard time with God the Father because of my earthly father. We need to understand that God loves us. He is our provider. He is our protector. The view of our Heavenly Father sometimes can be diminished by the view of your earthly father. And I just want to say, not to diminish how your father treated you, because if he didn't treat you in a way that was the way God would, is wrong. But we can't take that and say, that's how my Heavenly Father views me, or that's what he's going to do to me, because he's not going to. And that's where I've seen many people who have struggled that way have come out of that because they understood who God was. And so be careful that you don't view our Heavenly Father if you had a bad earthly father. In fact, we're going to just kind of get a sidetrack. We're going to pray, because I really want people to understand this. We do live in a fallen world. And you may say, well, no, that's not how I treat God. But I've been in many sessions where people have understood God to be that way because of their earthly father. So we're just going to pray. I'm almost done. But we're going to pray that God would reveal himself to you. Lord, if there's anybody here, or if they're even visiting, or Lord, that they've had experiences with a father that just wasn't healthy. God, I ask that you would reveal yourself in a special way right now. That God, you are a God of love, mercy, and grace. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing who your father is, not just was, who he is. And Lord, we just bring forth families right now that may be going through some of these things. Doesn't mean your dad has to be a very mean, miserable, bad person, but you may have not just received the love or the encouragement that you needed. And so, Lord, I pray for the ones that have gone through this already, that you would reveal yourself to each person here that have maybe struggled with that. And so, God, I pray now, Lord, for all of our fathers in this place, that they would see how the Heavenly Father, who he is, and that we would become more like him in our families. I even pray for fathers that aren't here, that belong in this church, that are here in this church, maybe not here right now. I pray for the Calvary Gospel family right now in the name of Jesus, especially the fathers. God, that we would have a better understanding of who you are so that we can grow a very healthy family in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. That's why Satan works overtime on a family. This is why Satan works overtime on a family. The enemy knows how important it is if you understand that God is your Father who loves you and who cares for you. I want you to think about that. That's why there's such an attack upon marriages, upon parents. Because if God can get you sidetracked and not see how God, the Heavenly Father, loves you and cares for you, then he has an entry point in your family and in your life. Never hit me till just as I was studying this. We know the enemy comes in and attacks a lot of things, but it's more clear why he comes after a family. If he can get children to see God as a mean God, as a God who doesn't care, who doesn't provide, who doesn't protect, that's what we're raising in a generation. That's from the pit of hell. That's not my God. That's not your God. That's why he attacks family so strongly. And so I'm giving this word because we need to stand on guard and we need to come against that. God loved us before we did anything, before the foundations of the world, his compassion, his faithfulness, his forgiveness, his generosity. That's what we need to teach our children. Even though we're struggling maybe with a father or a mother or a parent and they're not walking with God the way they should be, but you need to teach your children that's not who the Father God is. Jesus has revealed who God is. He's an awesome God. And this is what I'm going to end with. John 20, 19 through 21. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, this is Jesus' ascension, where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Here it is. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When I've read that, we all say, oh yeah, he sent us to go save the world and go heal the sick. And that's a great commission. But if we really understand why Jesus came, of revealing who the Father is, here's the two questions I want to leave with you. You can put those up. Here's the two questions. Does your view of the Father, Heavenly Father, match up with how Jesus views the Heavenly Father? I want you to ask that. I want you to really look at that. Does your view of God match up with how Jesus views God, his Father? And the second question, how do you respond to people around you? How do you respond? Are you revealing who the Father is like Jesus did? Two simple questions that you can take home. Ponder, digest, dissect, however you want to look at this, and say, does your view of God, the Father, match up with how Jesus views the Father? Because it has to. If it doesn't, then we need to fix it. You need to fix it. And how do you respond to people around you? Are you revealing the Father? Are you revealing the Father? If you need to take a picture of it with your phone, take a picture of it with your phone. Write this down. This is so important. It'll help you. It'll help you be able to move forward. We all say, Jesus, how did you do this? You were God, I know, but you were man. And you know, we know that you were thirsty, but you're the living water. We read that. We understand that. But God is making this even simple to us. Does your view of the Father match up with Jesus' view of the Father? And what are you displaying to others around you? Your neighbor, your teacher, your peers, your parents, your children. Hopefully, you'll take these questions home and just say, Lord, help me to see where I don't see you as a loving God. Help me to show others that you really are a God of grace and a God of mercy. God is not upset with us the more questions we ask. See, we think, When you're a child, your parent says, stop asking questions. Stop asking questions. Stop asking questions. God does not mind the questions. In fact, God would love all of us to go home after lunch before we turn on the football game, because then we'll never do this. Hey, God, my view of you, does it match up with Jesus' view of you? And if it doesn't, show me. Jesus would love all of us to ask that question. And help me then to show that to the world. Help me show that to the world. I have to. We have to. We have to show the world who God is. Because Jesus has given us the greatest example of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for listening. I just really want you to catch this. It's so important how you view the Father. And that we look at the Bible now in a sense of, oh man, Jesus is really telling us about God and how he loves us, cares for us. Praise God. Praise God. Let us stand and close. Hallelujah. Oh God, you're such a good, good Father. Hallelujah, Lord. 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 You are a good, 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 good Father. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you for showing us who the Father is through the Word, Lord, through your actions, Lord, as you walked on this earth. But God, it was not just for you, just because you were God, but God, you were also man, and you showed us that, Lord, we can do this if we would just follow you. God, I ask that us as a church would see you the way Jesus saw you, the way Jesus represented you. Where you were, he was. Jesus just didn't go do something and say, hey, Father, you want to show up with me? He only went where the Father was. So, Lord, we just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, help us see you in the way that we should see you through the Scriptures, which is truth, which is righteousness, which is holiness, which is the right way. Jesus, thank you for what you have shown us, Lord God, that, Lord, we can go after this God without hesitation, without fear. Lord, we can run into his arms because we know that he's a God of love and mercy of grace, and he's a God that wants to have a relationship with us. He's a God that loves us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that this church would catch this, Lord God, and find out who you really are. And Lord, we prayed about heavenly fathers, and we're going to do it once more time. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I God, that you would reveal yourself to the earthly fathers on this earth right now in the name of Jesus. And God, that we would change our ways, Lord, that we would represent you in the proper way. Lord, that we would lead our family, that we would lead our children in the ways of the Lord and who you are, God, that we would be merciful and grace and an unconditional love. But God, we would start teaching our family and our children who you are through what Jesus has done, that we would open up the Scriptures and let it penetrate our hearts, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the enemy tries so hard to break up a family. Because if he can teach children that this God in heaven doesn't love them, then they are going to be lost. But we come against that in the name of Jesus right now. We bind it, we rebuke it, we command it to leave households right now. Any thoughts, any words that have been spoken over children in this church right now that have not been right, we ask your blood to cover it, Jesus, right now in the name of Jesus, God. That these children be raised up in the ways of you, Lord. Even with struggling marriages and families, God, you can still intercede and you can still penetrate the hearts of these little kids as they come to nursery, in the nursery class, as they come into the four-year-olds class, as they come into Kids Connect, as they come into Elevate. Hallelujah, Lord. Continue to teach us who you are, that we would stand in the gap against the enemy who's trying to destroy the families and trying to destroy fathers. That's not who you are. Lord, we thank you for our young people who are in the city. Lord, continue to protect them, guide them. Lord, that they would only go where you are in that city, Lord God, right now. Lord, we thank you for the homeless that you that they fed. We thank you for the homeless that have received you, as their personal Savior through our young people that have been down there, Lord. We thank you that you're doing a mighty work in the city, that all is not lost, but you have come for the lost. Hallelujah. And we thank you for our church. We thank you for Calvary Gospel. We thank you for everyone here, God. God, we're calling them in from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. God, that you would fill this place with the lost, the discouraged, the addicted, the abused, the orphan. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, that this church would be filled with overflowing, with people, with lives that are transformed and changed by the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus right now, God, you continue to fill this place up, young and old, right now, in the name of Jesus. We call the cities right now surrounding us. Right now, we pray for city of Utica, New Hartford, and Whitesboro, and Yorkville, and Marcy, and Deerfield, and New Hartford, and any other ones. You just start naming them out. If you're living someplace like for Herkimer, for Frankfort, for Ilion, for Little Falls, for Dowdsville, for Salisbury, for Newport, for Middleville, hallelujah, Lord, for Frankfort, any city you live in or village that I didn't call out, you start crying out for that city right now. God, that your love would be displayed in that city. Your forgiveness, why you sent your son to go on that cross, was to forgive our sins. And Lord, let people know that there is forgiveness in the Son of God. There is forgiveness that God has sent. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you, God, because you're a good, good Father. And once again, I thank you for Calvary Gospel. Lord, you said if you build a church, the gates of hell will never prevail. And so, God, we're allowing you to build Calvary. You take us where you want to go. Lord, you take us where you want to go. I'm going to say it one more time. God, you take us where you are, where you are. Our feet would never step on some place that you are not. But, God, we will go where you are, no matter where that is. No matter how dirty it looks, no matter how bleak it looks, no matter how lost it looks, God, I know that's where you are. You're for the lost. And so, Lord, that we would humble ourselves and say, God, take us where you are in our cities and our villages right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, church. Awesome church. Come down and have some fellowship. Shake hands with somebody you haven't seen.